Hey, After Buzzers, we are talking all about episode 5. Becca is super into Colton. We have a real dramatic 2-on-1, and Chris is still being annoying. We got all that right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is probably the most fitting song we've had all season because there's so much jealousy going on this episode. But welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Renee Ariel, and I got my girl, Christine.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Christine Bean, here. You can find me all over social media, Christine Bean, Christine Alexis, whatever. You know me.
She's everywhere.
But
first, I need to know, what did you think? What were your overall thoughts of this episode?
Oh, my God. If I could just think of one word off the top of my head, it would be cringe. Just straight cringe. I was physically ill watching many scenes throughout this episode. Just straight cringeworthy. What about you?
Oh, I completely agree with you. I thought we got through the cringing last episode with Jean Blanc, but ABC, you really got us with the gold moments here. There's so much to talk about, but let's start off with this 2-on-1. We finally get a 2-on-1 with Colton and...
The 1-on-1.
The 2-on-1. We get a 2-on-1 as well. We finally got the 1-on-1 with Colton and... Damn, Becca's real into Colton.
This whole date was about Colton. Like, from the body language to the conversation, I don't think we even learned anything new about Becca that whole date. It was just about, you know, their chemistry and finding more about his past relationship, which he talked about.
Yeah, to be honest, I found this date super boring. The date card said, let's ride off into the sunset, and they rode off on camels, which I'm, like, not the biggest fan of. Here's why. First of all, we don't know how they treat those camels, but we won't get into that. But
true.
I think for a date, like, I'd want to be on the same camel as the guy I'm on a date with. There's clearly room.
I mean, to be honest, like, on the note of dates, they've been pretty bad. I'm going to be honest.
True.
From last episode into this one, it's like they just progressively are getting worse. And I mean, the producer set this up. I don't know if they're trying to go in line with what Becca likes or if they're just trying to throw everyone for a loop, which I think they do with some of these just random things to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But this was not fun to watch. It didn't look fun for them to be on. It didn't seem romantic. And it seemed so anti-Vegas.
Yeah. And I just real quick say, Renee, did you ever think there'd be a time in your life when in a professional job you'd say, if I was riding a camel, I'd at least want to be on one camel?
That's so true.
No.
Look at what we're talking about.
Yeah. Very one camel, true. One love, the Renee Ariel memoir.
No, I completely agree with you. It was not Vegas at all. For, like, the kickoff date in Vegas, I was surprised they went this direction. But, you guys, we got the famous, if you've been a Bachelor fan for a while, the famous, like, randomly placed hot tub.
Yes.
First of all, I want to know how many people it takes to, like, move out that hot tub and, like, set it all up. How long did it take? Because that must be a really annoying setup.
It's just so awkward. I think there was a date, last season, I think it might have been Rachel's go-around where they were in a hot tub, but it was, like, almost in, like, a public square. Like, there were so many people around them. And, it, these hot tub dates, or scenes, rather, are just so awkwardly placed, but very, very Bachelor. So we got to love it.
Yeah, but let's get into what we found out about Colton today, because obviously we got how happy Becca was to be there. She said she was the most relaxed she's ever been. But we also learned a little bit about Colton's past with relationships. And I don't know, I want to hear how you feel about this, because he was talking about in his last relationship, he said, I love you way too soon. And then the relationship ended. And I guess for me, I was wondering, like, how long were they even together when that happened? And then when did they break up? Because they didn't talk about, like, timelines at all.
Yeah, that was definitely the thread that was missing for me with this story, which I felt the same way about when, was it Garrett who was telling Becca about his last relationship? Or was this also Colton? I'm blanking, but...
Which, tell me about the relationship, I'll tell you.
Where it just didn't work out with the other girl that he was married to. I think this was Garrett.
That was definitely Garrett.
Garrett was married.
Right. And regardless of whether their stories are true or not true, but the one thing that always stuck out to me hearing them talk about it was that there was a timeline missing. And as women, we need that kind of timeline to make sense of where they were at, kind of come to our own conclusions. We're just taking it at face value for what he said. So hearing that, I don't know if I didn't know how to feel about it, because it seems like it's hard for me to imagine him being the one who's saying I love you too quickly and giving his all too quickly, because in this dynamic right now, I'm just seeing all that from Becca.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to this theory of like Colton actually being into Tia and not really being there for Becca. I will say it feels like Colton can say the most random, like, vague, generic sentences, statements, stories, and Becca's like, what? What did you say? And she eats it up. Like, I found his story so, first of all, I just feel like it was missing so many details, but I'm also, like, I ask so many questions. So I feel like if I was like, okay, well, how long were you together? When did you say I love you? Were you really in love with her? Like, you know? But whatever. I mean, oh, and you actually had a really good point about this date. Christine was saying how it kind of reminded her of Peter, because he's like creating this edit for himself of like, oh, it takes so much for me to say I love you. Mm-hmm. I have to really mean it, especially also if I say I'm falling in love with you. Like, he made that real clear several times on this date.
He did. And that's why it reminded me so much of Peter, because it's like, now it's giving Becca something to long for, to finally get those words, because he's already put it on a pedestal that it's hard for him to do that. But at the end of the conversation, he does say, I'm falling in love with you. Or
He said love, or I'm falling.
Oh, I don't remember, but I did write that he said, I'm falling in love with Becca. I think he said that in his confessional, actually. I don't know that he said it to her, so I'm going to take that back. But it seems like he's getting there, or is at that point anyway. Mm-hmm. But I did peep the strategy, which is why I said that it kind of just reminded me of the, like, holding back that element a little bit to give her something to chase for. And you could totally see it in her body language. I think she actually tweeted it. I saw it during the show that she's like, sometimes when she runs out of things to say, she says, come here. And she starts kissing him. And that's exactly what happened. She cut him off mid-sentence to kiss him. She's not doing that with anyone else right now.
Yeah, she's real attracted to him. But, like, I see some chemistry. I just find them so boring right now.
You think so?
Like, I'm so bored by their relationship. There's other relationships that I'm excited to watch on camera. With Colton, I feel like I'm going to get some bland story or just, like, something he says that doesn't make sense. That Beck is like, I totally get where you're coming from. Like,
do you see them for each other at all, though?
No, I don't see the fun part of him. I see, like, he's very cutesy, mm-hmm. and he's super hot. Like, I get it, but there's no fun element to him where I see them really connecting and like going out and laughing together. I don't see that with him, given it could be the edit, but I don't know. With them, it's just like weird.
It is a bit weird, but you know, with the drama on these shows, I feel like it's not the end yet for Colton. And obviously with the whole Tia situation, we know more drama will revisit later. And if you've been looking on the internet or seen anything, we're not going to get into spoilers, but we know that the situation is not over yet with Colton. There's more drama to come.
Yep.
But on that note, After Buzzers, we here at the network produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas like this one, reality TV. We're also reality TV and drama. It might just be one category. Sci-fi and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans like you. But now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters to specific content that you already like directly to you. It brings your favorite after shows to you so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. So subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows that we're sure you're gonna love. Like on this reality TV channel, you can check out The Proposal, all the Real Housewives shows if you're into that. Those are popular right now, as well as Growing Up Hip Hop, a different kind of reality TV show. So remember that our channels have we have channels for other genres too. So check out the sports channel. We have a sci-fi channel. Please don't be shy about subscribing to them either. Branch out. You're going to find other things that you like. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. It's easy. Just hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know what you did in the comments, we'll shout you out on air. And you know, Bachelorette Squad, we'd love to shout you guys out. So thanks for being the best fans. And we promise to continue to do our best to serve you.
Yeah. Hold on. Everyone take a minute. Have you all hit the subscribe button if you are watching on YouTube? Have we? Okay.
Hit it.
Have you done it? Okay, moving on to the group date. We're all just assuming you guys did it, so let's hope so.
And I'll go check.
We'll check, all of us. Okay, so for the group date, we have Wills, Garrett, Blake, John, Oh my gosh, I wrote Connor like Cannon, but it's Connor. Cannon. Leo, Lincoln, Jason, and Chris. And their date card said, I'm looking for my Mr. Las Vegas. And damn, Becca likes to embarrass her guys with these songwriting dates. This is the second songwriting date we've gotten.
We spoke about this off air. I was like, is Becca like a singer in her past life? Does she just have a thing for musicians? Like, I'm not understanding the singing songwriting dates. They're just so cringe.
Like, they're so cringe. I love it, though. I just wish... I'm confused why they did it twice. Like, yeah. I don't know where ABC was going with that. So we had Wayne Newton as the special guest. He is helping everyone write their songs. It is a long... What is the song? It's... They're like...
Dunkishen? I think I'm saying that correctly.
I've never heard that song before, but they're all rewriting it. I'm sure it's a very famous song, and I'm just stupid, and I need to know this and look it up. But anyways, so I was like, Becca, like, must want to date a musician because she just keeps trying to throw these guys through hoops learning about it.
Well, remember what she said about loving her weekends, like, easy Saturday mornings? It's giving me Maroon 5 vibes. Like, maybe she just wants someone like Adam Levine to sing to her on weekend mornings.
She wants songs about Becca. She wants that album.
Songs about Becca.
That's what she's looking for.
We just coined that.
You're welcome. but what I love about these dates, I will say, is it gives the guys a chance to have fun with it, and you learn something about them. This song is amazing.
That's exactly what I think Becca wants.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. Amazing. I'm surprised Adam Levine wasn't the special guest in this episode.
I would have taken that over Wayne Newton, just like eye candy wise.
Same. Oh my God, and Bahati would show up. God, we're getting off track. But I love seeing the guys' personalities come out in this group date because it really goes to show. I mean, Garrett was so cute with like making, what did he say? We went bobsledding, I'm happy we're not dead, something like that.
Yeah.
I just like when guys can have fun with the dates. But who is your favorite of like all the songs at least we kind of got to hear?
I would say I'm going to give it to John just because it was so bad. Like, it was unbelievably bad. He was the most off-key, off-rhythm, and it just made me laugh, and it made me automatically interested because I was like, oh, man, they're either going to, like, try too hard and, like, fail at this, or this could be really funny. And it turned, like, he, I think, led with that energy that made me, like, sit back and go, okay, I'm going to enjoy this for a quick sec because it was just kind of left field.
Yeah, I think they all did a really good job just having fun. I was so concerned, especially considering the date we saw with Chris when he did write very serious lyrics and they were saving him till the end. And Christine and I were like, oh no. Oh no, what's
we were
gonna
dreading
happen?
It.
We were like, it's gonna be so bad. He's gonna be so deep, no one's gonna like it. But he actually had the most fun with it, and I think it got a little to his head.
A little to his head? A lot to his head. I mean, you couldn't even breathe because his confidence was just sucking all the air out of the room. It was unbelievable. I mean, from the edit and from what we could see, he obviously had a great time on stage. He got the crowd involved. It was a good time. Becca seemed really into it. And at the end of the day, like, it's about her. So it was great, but he just ran away with it. He got way too overconfident. And it just honestly worked against him throughout the rest of the episode, all stemming from that moment.
Yeah, Chris, I've tried to give you the benefit of the doubt. I started to like you a little bit after the one-on-one, but boy, this really threw me back because I think tonight he forgot what show he was on. I genuinely think he forgot. He's like, oh wait, Becca is the Bachelorette. I am not the Bachelor, and I do have to fight for her attention. Because tonight he was, oh, Becca's going to come to me. I'm going to wait for Becca. I'm not going to do anything. I'm confident I'm getting a rose. And all these other guys are like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, the cocktail party was so telling. The fact that he didn't get up and go find her, like, we're at what, episode 5? So we're about halfway through the process at this point. So if you're not going to take every moment that you can to spend some time with Becca, not only is she going to notice, but it's just going to affect your time there. And the other guys see that. That's potentially something for them to have a leg over you, to know that, okay, he's not even concerned about getting this time. If anything, I'm going to go get double the time and I'm going to make my mark. And that's where Chris, I think, took his... He just wasn't focused on the game plan here. And the show that he was on, to your point.
When, surprise, Becca wasn't going to chase after him because, again, Chris, she is the Bachelorette. He doesn't get any time. She gives out the rose. She gives it out to, I believe, Blake.
Blake gets the rose that night.
Because Blake is so cute and he says he's falling in love with her.
That was a big moment tonight for him to say that.
He is so adorable. I am living for Blake. I love him. I think he's such a cutie pie. He seems so genuine. And I think Becca really needed a guy to save that whole hot mess that was Jean Blanc.
Yeah.
He ruined that moment. You know, it's all about, this show has so many firsts, and you remember the first one who says, you know, they're falling in love with you. And it was a guy who then took it back and probably didn't mean it and then was mad that you didn't give him a rose after he gave you a perfume.
Oh my God. Can I just say, I wasn't here last week and I was sick, but I caught that episode, and man, for my fellow Haitian, Jean Blanc, why you have to do it like that? It just, that was so hard to watch. I think this week topped that, but That was a moment that was stolen from Becca. And Blake decided to nicely give it to her again tonight. It's always funny, too, watching the leads struggle with not saying it back. And just, like, what do you say in that moment to, like, maybe confirm that you feel the same way, but without saying something too prematurely at this point. And she was just like, that makes me happy to hear.
Yeah.
And, like, looks away. And I'm like, oh, Becca, you just want to say I love you back, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love Blake? Let's be honest.
But before we move on, though, we love Blake, though. But do you think that he's ultimately right for Becca?
Right now, I think I haven't seen enough of him to know. Because I think he's so playful, but I haven't seen serious Blake. So I think, like what I was saying last week, by the way, we will get into this because I changed my opinion on this. I don't know why that took me so long to get out. But I feel like so many guys, like, they lack one part of a relationship dynamic, like whether that is having fun together, laughing together, or that serious aspect. And I think Blake has been so fun and cute that it makes sense because it's so early on. But I guess what we're really going to be really big tell is seeing him serious,
mm-hmm.
and where if they can actually have, like, a deep conversation that's very serious. But how do you feel? Do you think he's right for her?
I'm kind of on the same page of where you're at. And a big tell for me, too, is seeing how somebody responds to conflict and or some sort of negative situation. And so far, if you think about it, a lot of the other guys have had to deal with that yet, but Blake hasn't. You know what I mean?
That's very true.
So we haven't even seen his feathers really be ruffled.
Mm-mm.
And so that's something I'm waiting for. And again, too, we've gotten a really good edit from him. Very playful. You can tell that they're comfortable together. There's attraction there. They're both good looking. But you, like, as a woman, when you're, like, choosing that guy, you know, like, you want to know that you can have that serious moment, mm-hmm. like, that emotional moment where you're like, okay, we feel like we're the ones for each other. And I haven't seen that between them yet.
Yet. So I guess we'll see. But I want to, because we're going to get more into this Chris situation of how he handled wanting to leave that night towards the end, because I think that's when it all explodes, which I'm so excited to talk about. But we need to get into this very, very dramatic and annoying 2-on-1 date. Wow, I would be just as annoyed as Becca being on this. So, oh gosh, Jordan and David got a date card that said, meet me in the Valley of Fire. We all knew this was coming. They've been butting heads the entire season. David, I cannot deal with him. But what did you think of this 2-on-1? Were you surprised that they were as annoying as they were?
Oh, not surprised at all. It's actually really funny because the whole time I really thought it was going to work in David's favor. Because he was
really?
Up until the very end. Only, I mean, after what Jordan shared with Becca, my mind immediately changed. But because he was playing it so cool. And I was just looking at Jordan's body language. He seems so ruffled and upset by everything that David was saying. Granted, if it's a lie or your character's being defamed, you're going to react that way. But he couldn't even really make, like, full sentences. He just started, like, hurling insults, which to me just looked like a defense mechanism after a while. I was like, this isn't going to, it's not flattering for you. And Becca's not going to respond well to this.
Can I just say real quick, Christine, I agree with you that David, I know you, it's bachelor number one rule. You never call someone else out. You never do the here for the right reasons thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen it done better than how David did it.
He was so calm.
I know. And, like, I was like, I think maybe this is the one time we'll see this work. Renee, you knew, but.
Oh, no. The second they sat down together and that's the first thing he started saying, I'm like, I can't stand David. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This episode, I feel like I started to understand Jordan.
Oh, God.
I really think he's just very socially awkward. I think that's what it is. I think that he's not, I think he's a little insecure. He knows he's good at modeling. He knows that's like, it's about his face and his body. He has to upkeep himself, but I think he doesn't know how to connect with people that well. So I think he was trying to genuinely connect with Becca and telling her, he wanted to tell her about his life. But I think that explains what you were saying earlier, that he was like planning to tell her his story. I just think he's really awkward. And if you think about it that way, it kind of changes your perception of him. Whereas David, it's like constantly trying to poke the bear. Like, I think David could make anyone lose their mind. I think if David was making stuff up about me, and if I was sarcastic about something, twisting it so that I was serious about it, I think I would also eventually explode, especially if I was getting little sleep, living with him 24/7, mm-hmm. and then we were stuck in the middle of the freaking desert. Who wouldn't?
That's a fair assessment. Like, for sure, I definitely give you that. I think with Jordan, though, I just have had a hard time finding him to be genuine. Like, I think everything that's come out of his mouth thus far, for some reason, has just come out like he's lying or he's just, like, selling it too hard. So it was just, it's just hard for me even still to find sympathy, even if he is just so socially awkward, because I'm just not buying any of it.
Yeah.
It's like nothing is landing for me. So I'm like, I really don't care.
For me, though, I will say, like, with Daniel, for instance, I know when we had him in the studio, it's not an act. Like, that is Daniel. And I feel like Jordan would be the same way. I just genuinely think he doesn't know how to connect with people. That is my theory.
That's a good point.
I think we're all the, like, if you think about it, what has he done that's been so bad? Yes, he's full of himself. But aside from that, he hasn't been mean to other guys. He makes jokes because he thinks he's funny. He hasn't been rude to Becca. He's done nothing wrong. It's because everyone then calls him out for doing things. I mean, I'm sure he's kind of gotten in his head about stuff and felt like he needs to be defensive, but I think he's just super awkward, can't connect with people, and just got the short end of the stick in the situation.
But to be fair, there's only so much that we see in terms of interaction in the house. I do think it is partially that, with the guys needing something to pick on him about with his antics, and he makes it so easy to do so because he acts like that. Mm-hmm. But before the walking around in his underwear thing, like, he has bothered people before. And, like, I don't think that he's made, I don't know that he's, from what we've seen, that he's made a real effort to connect with them on their level either. I think he's very much like, well, I'm different. You either like it or you don't. And that's also his fault, too, for not trying to connect.
But that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think he knows how to connect right with people. I think he's genuinely a very awkward person. I think the guys didn't understand that. I think Becca did understand that, and that's why she was so sweet at the end. Because I genuinely think Becca understood, would probably have the same opinion I do about Jordan, where I think he's just very awkward.
Especially, Renee, if I could quickly jump in. I want to tread carefully here, but he brought up some of his family history.
Mental illness.
Right.
Right. And, like, no matter what he inherited, growing up in a household like that probably wouldn't socialize you properly.
Yeah.
So, like, he's clear. He seems like he might even be a nice guy. He's just on a different planet.
I really think there's something else going on that we don't get to see. I think we get the laugh because he does ridiculous things. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't even think he thinks he's, like, the hottest guy in the block. I just genuinely think he's having fun with it, but he's very awkward and doesn't come across the right way. That's exactly the vibe I got when him and Becca were on the date. That's the vibe I got with him and David, because honestly, he handled the David thing better than I think a lot of people would. If someone was, okay, Christine, I'm gonna sit down with you a second. If someone was constantly calling out and twisting everything you said for 5 weeks, and right, then you're in the desert and you want to be with this person, and now they're straight up lying about something you said, I think you'd eventually crack. I think we all would.
Well, that's honestly where I think, like you know, Jeff brought it before, this mm-hmm. could have easily still played out in David's favor. I think what really did it was when she flat out asked him, did the word settling come out of your mouth? And the fact that he kind of fumbled that reply, it just took away all of his credibility. Because at that point, I still think he had it with Becca, but to say, well, oh, that's how I thought that he felt because of how he was acting, it was like, then at that point, he eliminated himself, and Jordan came out looking better for it. But I will say, Jordan, you have to look at the whole date. Look at the cocktail party after. He asked her a question about her weekends to open it up to find out more about her. But to me, it set the stage so he could just talk about himself.
Oh, see, that's
He's
not what
so
I got.
He's so self-centered.
See, this is what I got from the date. I think he does that, but not on purpose. I think because he cannot connect with people, what happened was he was trying to have a conversation. He honestly probably planned that question in advance. He doesn't know how to connect with Becca. And I think the only thing he can connect with her on or like help with is talking about himself because he doesn't know how to connect with her. I don't think they have that chemistry. Do I think that they're right together and just because he's awkward means that they should have, that she shouldn't have eliminated him? Absolutely not. I'm just trying to empathize with him because I don't think it's like, oh, I only care about me. I just think he doesn't know how to connect with people.
I totally agree. And like the other thing is, guys like to talk about their jobs. Like, he's probably like, I've got to show Becca how I'm a breadwinner.
Yeah.
What, like, this is who I am. It is kind of a bummer if the thing you do is modeling. You talking about it, you're just going to seem like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, if he was like, I'm a teacher, I work with kids, and every day, it'd be like, oh, that's so sweet. But when, even though he's being earnest about his job, when your job is modeling, you're just not going to look great.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you notice, think about any clip we've ever seen of Jordan, any soundbite, he's very matter of fact. He doesn't talk with, like, it's not about coming from a place of emotion. It's just very much like, okay, these are the facts in front of me, and because of A happened, I think this is why it led to B and C. He's not very emotional when it comes to that. And I think that's him as a person rather than being fake. I think that is genuinely Jordan. So when he's going on talking about the modeling, even when she did eventually send him home in such a sweet way, I think Becca did a fabulous job about that. In the car, he's like, I don't understand why she sent me home. I just don't think he gets it. Honest.
We're going to agree to disagree
on
that
one.
For sure.
We want to hear from you guys, though. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with Christine? Did you like Jordan? Did you understand? Did you empathize with him? Let us know. But so
I'm in the chat right now, I will say, and we're equally mixed. Like, I feel like there's some team Christine here, some team Renee here. Not that we're on teams, but just viewpoints, you know?
For sure.
No, yeah.
And I think Jordan, there's always one super divisive Bachelorette pick, and he served us great TV all season.
He did.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Jordan,
for that.
I totally understand some of the points that you made and in terms of empathizing with him, but I, at the end of the day, I think my mindset is always with the lead, and you just fail to really get to know her, and it's about her.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I'm always going to judge somebody based on that, but I totally understand the points that you made.
Yeah, and no, trust me, like, for her, I don't think he's right for her at all. Like,
yeah.
they're not. I mean, there's so many guys that I think we can say that about, but it's just, like, me looking at him as a person. I'm sure all of you in the chat, let us know.
I just don't see him getting a date after this, honestly.
Who? Oh, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't see it.
Oh, he's gonna go to Paradise. He'll definitely get a date. He's for sure going to Paradise, let's be honest. And I think he's going to have a hard time connecting, but who knows? I'm trying to think of who would be compatible with him. That's actually a good question. Let us know. If he goes to Paradise, who do you think might be good for Jordan? Jeff, will you let us know when people start answering?
Yeah, I'm thinking Annalise.
Annalise?
Is that the person?
The one who couldn't get a kiss?
That could
be happen. Or thinking of Crystal.
She's Crystal?
She might be too much. That might be like...
That would be so interesting.
That will explode.
You know, maybe... No.
Who?
I was going to say maybe Alexis or something because she's just... seems like she would make fun of him and have total fun with that.
But. She would have fun with that. I think he's going to make a lot of friends in Paradise. I don't know if you'll find love, but we know he's there's no way he's not going to Paradise. But you guys, so at this point, after we did the 2-on-1, I was like, Christine, there's another hour of this episode. How is that possible? We've been through all the dates. Well, it's possible because of our little friend, Chris. So it's time for the cocktail party. And... oh my God. So the first person Becca grabs is Chris after all the drama that happened on the group date when he said he wanted to leave. I'm going to leave. I don't know if I'm going to stay here. And then he stays, as they all do. He's like freaking Crystal. But during the cocktail party, she talks to him first. He tries to redeem himself. Do you think he said all that he needed to say that first time he talked to her and that he just wasn't happy because of her reaction? Or do you think there truly was more to say?
I don't think there was more to say. I think he wasn't satisfied with her reaction, which is just ridiculous because I feel like he needed to let her like sit on it a little bit. I mean, you know, we were talking about this off air while watching it, whether some women respond to jealousy and respond to that kind of approach. And I don't think Becca was responding very well to it. But one thing I will say that I noticed with this episode, with the situation with Chris specifically, and then again with Jordan, is just how Becca handles hearsay.
Yeah.
Because what was said about him potentially wanting to go home, we saw that, but we never saw how she came across that information, whether the producers gave it to her or she mentioned that she heard from the other guys, but we actually never saw that happen. So technically, it's kind of like hearsay. And I like the fact that she does confront it dead on. She goes to the person and is like, well, I heard you said this. Like, what's the case? And kind of gives them the chance to say what they need to say about it. Chris just didn't say enough, I guess, in the time that he had, because I felt like what he said didn't really change anything anyway.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of that really awkward conversation of him trying to redeem himself was when he tried to be like, I really am falling for you, and she's talking over him like he doesn't even get to finish that thought, because that's the first time he said that to her, and on The Bachelor, like, that's a crucial moment. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he tried saying it and like it didn't even work out, super awkward. I will say, I do think it was a producer that told Becca, because mm-hmm. you know damn well Bachelorette would have shown us what guy said that. Also, I think if Chris fully believed that, he would have gone to the other guys and said something. Chris is very confrontational. Yes. Yes,
that's true, because they were all sitting together for quite some time and nobody, you know, they were all quick to just remind him of like how badly he's handling the situation. But yep. Nobody brought up the fact that like, well, you know, I felt the need to tell her because I felt like this is what she wants to know. You know, when the guys say something
yep.
and they want to try and take ownership for it, it's about looking out for her and making sure that you're here for the right reasons. Nobody offered that up, which makes me think either A, which is most probable, that the producer said something, or B, one of her faves said something and she doesn't want to paint them in a bad light or throw them under the bus. Like, it could have been Garrett or somebody True. Like Blake or Colton, who she really likes, and she doesn't want to expose them.
And even ABC doesn't want to expose them because they exactly. like them. That's very possible. They're, too.
It could have been I think it's either the producer or a front runner, somebody important said mm-hmm. it. And Chris was already like kind of spiraling out of control that it wasn't necessary to broaden who said it and create drama yeah. that way, but focus on him just cringing his way through that whole
oh my gosh
ordeal. I mean, you know, just interrupting Wills and their time. How did you feel about the way that played out and how it was handled?
I got to give kudos to Will, because I think he handled it so perfectly. Here's why. I think, number one, if he just did that whole, oh yeah, you can talk to her again, it wouldn't have shown Becca that he's like a man that can like take control and mm-hmm. be like, it's like, you know, be like, nah, he like can stick up for himself, which I liked. And he handled it so calmly. He was respectful. He said, I'll give you 2 minutes. He came back in 2 minutes, and then that was that. He was going to spend time with Becca. I think he also read Becca and read her body language that she didn't want to be talking to him. I think that because as soon as finally Chris left, Becca was immediately back in Will's embrace, and then they were making out 2 seconds later. So I think he handled it so well. He didn't lose his chill. He brought it right back to being lighthearted right after it ended. So I loved it. I think Chris was so annoying. What did you think?
I thought it was very annoying. He was doing the opposite of what Wills was doing. He wasn't reading Becca and reading her body language. It was almost like a help me when she was looking and not saying anything and kind of letting Wills and Chris go back and forth about whether who should leave or stay. But you could tell she was very uncomfortable with the situation. Immediately after, she was much more comfortable with Wills. And I feel like, again, like, the fact that she had to step in and say, I'm a woman of my word. Like, I said I'm going to confine you. Like, just chill. It's like, Chris needs to do a better job of reading her. Cause
yeah,
you, I agree.
I understand his plight, and you could want to just get it out so bad. I understand maybe him just burning with just I needing to feel heard and wanting to make sure that what he's saying is landing. But you're not going to get through to her that way.
She doesn't want
to listen to you right now.
What I'll say, though, is, like, I kind of get what's happening here. Like, I feel like the show painted Chris out to kind of be pretty villainous here. The music was on. Like, the edit was not kind to Chris.
Yeah. That's fair.
But, yeah. like, here's what I'll say. Chris opened up about his emotional past and his daddy issues 2 weeks ago. And, like, I think this process is not good for a guy like him. He seems kind of insecure. He seems like he's a guy who lets his emotions get to him quickly. And, like, I don't know if I would like seeing a girl I really, really like date 8 other guys. And I get why you're in a position where maybe you'd want to see some validation from her. That's not how you play the game. He didn't do this right, but I can track and follow why Chris is making all these decisions. And I will say, however you feel about it, he showed her what he wants. Mm-hmm. And not everyone's doing that. And like we mentioned it while we were watching, but jealousy isn't always a bad thing if you're trying to sense who has feelings for you.
Yeah, but it depends how you handle the jealousy. I will say, I do think he'll go to Paradise. I think he's going to be a nightmare in Paradise.
Just saying. Yeah, because Paradise, if he can't handle this format, he's definitely not going to handle the Paradise format where right? it's like everybody's kind of swapping and seeing what's the best fit. Mm-hmm. But to Jeff's point, yeah, I don't think Becca was, I mean, I don't know. Actually, in the end, she ended up keeping him. So maybe him showing that much and needing her to like validate his feelings ended up working in the end. But it was such a risky approach to take to this, considering the reason why she sat down with you in the first place and had that tension was because she felt like you weren't meeting her halfway by yeah. approaching her last time. So I don't think she's in the position or the mindset right now feeling like, I need to make him feel better about him. I actually came to you so you can make me feel better about me and our connection because you didn't try to approach me at the last cocktail party.
Exactly, yeah. It was just the wrong timing. If she's saying 50-50, I get why in his head he's like, so every time I have to come to you? Isn't that 100?
No,
like,
you're right.
To him, it's probably confusing to hear her say, it's 50-50, man. Why didn't you come to me this time and every time? That yeah, doesn't totally add up for him.
However, at the same time, they're both in a vulnerable place, yes, but it's how the show works. It would be the same way if it were The Bachelor, how the show works. Is Becca is completely putting herself on the line. She's being super vulnerable. She's trying to find a husband. That's already a clear message. She's trying to find a husband. She's already putting herself out there. You're already getting a rose every week. That's your validation. Her validation is you coming up and fighting for her and talking to her. It works both ways.
I just wonder if he knows that. Like, if
well, he should have watched the show.
Like, well, do you think he's the kind of guy who watches The Bachelor?
No, like, I think he's annoying. I can't.
I think if I were in this position knowing nothing about the show, I can see how someone would act this way. I think, like, without knowing anything about the show, and if you're the jealous type, and if you're kind of emotionally unstable, this would be torture. Like, I think Chris is feeling that right now. I don't know. I get why Becca kept him because, like... I don't know. She's not going to keep him overall, but like he is putting his heart out on the line. And I don't know if a ton of other guys are doing that right now.
I honestly think he's in the Crystal situation. I think he's already burned his bridge, but the producers are like, keep him for one more week because they're not done with him. It's going to be a dramatic exit. They know he is, oh my gosh, what's the, a loose cannon. And I think they're going to wait until it's super emotional. And he gives ABC some good TV. I don't think it would have been in that moment. I think we're going to get it next week. But on that note, do you have anything else to say about the rose ceremony?
No, except, well, to who went home, sad
face. Oh, yeah. So let's get into the rose ceremony and just who's staying, who left, and then some predictions. So we lost, I mean, this episode we lost Jordan and David, and then we lost John. Little Venmo guy. Oh my God, Jeff was making so many funny jokes. Jeff, will you please just reiterate some of the things you were saying as John was leaving?
I was like, John's probably like, well, Becca, you can have fun with these poor ass guys. I'll take my private jet home and
I died.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with your fitness coach.
Right.
Oh my God.
Good luck. Yeah, seriously though. I like John a lot just because I think he's super cute. But I mean, I never saw a connection given we barely got any airtime with him and Becca. But you have the list of everyone who stayed, right?
I do. So who stayed with the first rose was Garrett, followed by Jason, Wills, Lincoln, Leo, Connor, and lastly, Chris R. They made us wait till the very end for that one.
Of course they did.
I will say, going into it, I was like, the only way Chris could stay is if maybe Leo goes, because he's another one who we hadn't seen much airtime for. But then I guess John maybe had just a little less than him, so he went first. But... you know, we're getting down to the thick of it now. This is, what, 7 people left?
That's crazy.
Only 4 make it to hometowns, and we're on episode 5. So we're, like, really getting there.
We're really getting there. That's why, on that note, I do want to get into some predictions, because I want to hear how you think this is going to play out.
Real quick, I have one last thing before predictions. I forgot to mention it, but I just saw it in my notes. Wills did one thing I didn't like this episode.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say. It's what he said when Chris came back, isn't it?
Yeah, when he came back, Wills, like, gave him a flash, like, I win. And I don't love, I think, like, always be gracious in victory. Like, I don't, it kind of showed me a side of Wills where I was like, ooh, I wonder if you've got, like, a gross competitive side.
Oh.
I don't know. That's my thought.
I feel you on that. But at the same time, I think it just goes to imagine if this was real life and you were dealing with an annoying guy like Chris and he was being super annoying that whole time. I think after he said that, that was the one, like, bad thing he may have done. But then after that, he was really nice. So I'm like, eh.
He was.
He slipped up. Whatever.
I agree. And I think up until this point, like, he's actually, like, played everything in my book perfectly in terms of contestant.
Agreed.
So for me to see this one little, like, feistiness from him, I actually welcomed it in this area because I'm like, okay, he's being protective of Becca and the time that he spends with her.
Yep.
So to me, I saw interest there, which is interesting how I responded to that versus
I get
this Chris's
a fun
display.
Side too. It shows a fun side.
Like, it shows a little, like, playfulness because he's like, oh, don't forget, this is still a competition and I won this battle. So
yeah, it's also like, imagine if you were dating a guy and then you the guy you're dating, like, knew another guy was, like, a joke because he was being so ridiculous. You're like, nah, he's gonna be a little feisty, whatever. I think it was cute and playful. I wasn't bothered by it. I think if he continued on after that to be like, ooh, I won, I would have been like, Wills, please don't ruin this for me.
I know. But Wills, on that note, Wills is getting a lot of love on social media. I've seen
I wonder why.
The Wills for Bachelor hashtag so much in the last week. And it's like, he's gaining a lot of support right now. Like,
he's
a lot.
Really growing on me. I mean, in the beginning, I didn't think too much of him just because I think he's starting to get more airtime as the episodes go on. Mm-hmm. I really like him. I like the way he dresses. I like his little cute matching tops and top and bottoms. He's super cute. But let's quickly dive into some predictions because I do have Will and Will's in my.
Do you? Oh, dang. I didn't even write any predictions down.
Oh. Yeah, I'll go first. You think about it.
Okay,
so we are going to be talking. We'll get back into the Fantasy League next week and update you guys when there's like some more changes because there already has been. But I think next week will be even more extreme. But I think for my predictions, I think it's going to be for top four. I think Jason is going to come in fourth place. I do. I just love Jason, and I can easily see him getting more airtime as the season goes on. I also think we saw him a little bit in some of the promos. I know a lot of people out there are pro Jason. Then I got in third place Wills, because Wills is stealing Becca's heart. And what I was going to say before is last week, I know you guys, if you listen to our podcast or watch us on YouTube every week, I was talking about how Wills lacks that like fun chemistry with Becca. And I felt very like physical chemistry and it being very serious, kind of like Luke and Rachel, where it's like intense, but I wasn't seeing that playful aspect. But I think they're just not airing it, because even those like 2 seconds we got when right before freaking Chris interrupted, they were talking about being dorks and nerds, and I think that was cute. So I do think they have that playful aspect. I just don't think we're seeing it. And coming in as second place, I see my boy Blake. I love Blake. I think he's gonna make it real far. And then I really still think she's gonna pick Garrett.
Dang, that's a pretty good rundown right there.
Yeah, what do you think?
I guess on that same note, I guess my final four, I have it being Garrett, Jason, Blake, and Connor. I see Wills getting eliminated right before Final Four.
Really?
I do. I love him, and I want to see him go far, but I don't see... Because, like, even as much as I like them,
yeah,
I still... When I look at them, I feel like she looks at him and is like, oh, that's just my boo. Like, he's my little boo. You know? Like, I get that, like... Oh, he's so cute. He makes me laugh. Like, it's so sweet. It's just my little boo thing.
Kind of a crush rather than a partner.
Yes. I don't get the, like... Oh my God, I really am so into him. I see what he can bring value to my life. I need that. Like, I want this guy. I see my future with him.
Then I guess on that note, why Connor over him? What do you see between her and Connor that you don't see with her and Wills?
I don't think we've seen it yet. That's what it is.
Okay.
I think that he's on the like dark horse train where we're going to see more of their connection later on, because aside from the whole him throwing the picture frame thing earlier, he's been kind of quiet lately, and I just for have now. A feeling that he goes a little bit further. That's just kind of a wild prediction because we haven't seen anything yet, but I just feel like there is more to see because we're seeing so much of Wills right now.
Yeah, I think Connor is going to mess up again.
I think so too.
I think it's such a red flag what he did so early on that I don't think that can be the end of it. Like when you have a temper tantrum and you throw a frame, there's no way that's like the end of your crazy.
So I also heard one of his middle school, like someone he went to middle school with, tweeted out that he was a bully in middle school.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised at that either. He kind of gives me like Jock bully vibes a little bit.
Like the bad guy in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, totally. Or he could be like one of the guys on Riverdale who's like on the team, who's just like being a douche for no reason.
For
like,
sure, for sure.
Totally see that.
Jeff, I also want to hear who are your top four for predictions?
I'm the same as Christine, except I do swap out Wills for Connor. Mm, I think Connor's going to mess up. Like, is that what you said, Renee?
No, I think Connor's going to
mess up.
Yeah, I don't even have him not my top four. I don't even think he might be top five or top six. I don't know.
I think he's out soon. I think Wills will be top four.
Yeah,
I think, trust me, I hope so.
She loves
Wills. That's no knock on that. I love Wills. And then when it doesn't work out, my at name is Christine Bean with 3 E's. Just make sure you get that correctly, okay?
3. Don't forget it. All right, you guys. Wow, that pretty much sums up our episode. We really want to hear from you guys, though, so please, please, please leave in the comments below. I'm sorry we weren't as active in the chat this week, but we will be next week. So leave us in the comments below. Who are your, like, top 3, top 4 picks? Does Chris also annoy you? Let us know. But in the meantime, you guys can follow follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter, and check out my blog, sextingandthecity.com. And Christine, where can everyone find you?
Everyone, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Wien with three E's. Want to shout out our iTunes listeners. Thank you guys so much for always being so amazing. Be sure to continue to rate and subscribe to us and all other channels on our network. And don't forget to let us know in the comments who you think Jordan will pair up with in Paradise later on, and any of your other thoughts about the show.
Actually, you know, next week, why don't we read some of our favorite ratings on the iTunes podcast? So this week, leave some good reviews, and we will read them next week on our show. But until then, you guys, happy Monday. Have a great rest of your week.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers,
the views expressed herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.